To achieve her dreams of success in the ruthless world of publishing, June Hayward is willing to go to any lengths. She betrays her closest friends, weaves intricate lies, and even goes a complete identity transformation just to make it. The question is, what would you do for fame? Do you relate to June, or do you find her as cringy as I do? In this episode, we will discuss plot and characters, but for the bulk of the episode, we're going to talk about the themes and questions raised in this book. I'm not gonna lie, I think this was one of the most frustrating books I've ever read. June's rationalization and her growing anxiety gave me undue amounts of anxiety, and I read for fun. The question is, was everything June did for fame worth it? For me, the obvious answer is no, but for June, fame was everything. In this book, the main character, June Hayward, steals a book from her friend, Athena Liu, after Athena Liu dies in front of her. Athena was a very successful writer who'd written her masterpiece. But the thing is, she hadn't told anyone what the book is about. And because she only writes her books in notebooks and then types them by a typewriter, she has no digital footprint. Because of this, June rationalizes that she can just take the novel and finish it on her own. Just smack her own name on it. June takes Athena's book and takes it upon herself to finish it. She rationalizes that because it was just notes, she wrote it. And the publisher would never choose her as a ghostwriter. So she has to do this justice. June sends her finished copy to her manager and then starts eating up the fame. For the first time in her career, multiple people want to publish her book. She gets treated like royalty. She chooses a small publisher with a well-known editor, and they work together like best friends, which is a little strange for an editor-writer dynamic. During this time, June upsets one of the copy editors, Candace, by refusing to do a cultural edit, and eventually she gets this copy editor fired when she writes a bad review about her book. When June's book gets published, her anxiety starts to take over. She thinks she sees Athena everywhere. She sees her at her first book opening, and she's constantly searching the internet to see if people made the connection between the two of them. At one point, an old boyfriend of Athena figures it out and starts an account as Athena's ghost. It is at that point that June becomes unraveled. She knows that most people don't see this connection, but she's starting to see Athena's ghost everywhere. In fact, she names it and gives it a persona. A few uncomfortable things happen as June struggles to keep her secret. She manipulates June's mother out of donating Athena's journals to college by claiming she wrote terrible things about her mother in it. She also takes interviews where they ask her questions about her book and her race. She also mentors students and says really uncomfortable things to them. For example, she tells a young girl that she's a shoo-in for publishing because she's gay and Asian. June's craving for more fame hits, but she can't write anything of her own. She finds a prompt from Athena and steals a paragraph to start her story. June again rationalizes this by saying that Athena stole June's story of how she was taken advantage of in college. But this time, June's plagiarism is caught, and things really start to go downhill. Eventually, June thinks she's seeing Athena's ghost in real life. She accosts a woman who does performance pieces, and then she goes down the rabbit hole. The ghost appears everywhere and sends her a DM. It turns out that the ghost was actually the copy editor, Candace, who is back for justice. And she's able to receive justice when she gets June to confess to stealing the novel. In the resolution of the book, if you can call it that, June doubles down on her crazy and decides to write her story, including the editor framing her and pushing her down the stairs. So what do we learn from this? More on that later. As far as characters go, June is the most disconcerting character I've ever read. At every turn of this book, she makes the most inappropriate and wrong decisions possible. She's like the man on the TV show, The Last Man on Earth. I had to stop watching that show because his attitude and general demeanor gave me anxiety. And the same was true of June. I almost didn't finish this book because I didn't think that June was a realistic character. It's understandable to find June's character lacking in realism, given her disconnected relationships and her seemingly unrealistic behavior. June doesn't have connections with anyone. Athena was seemingly her only friend, and June would be the first to admit that they weren't close. June seems to shut everyone, even her own family, out. Her relationship with her mother and sister is cold and distant. Now, I understand that everyone's family is different, but June goes out of her way to explain how she feels misunderstood by her family. To me, this seems very childish for someone who is near 30. Her mother and sister just want her to be stable and realistic. June lives in a fairy tale world, yet she knows this world is unsustainable. I think if June would have been given a friend to push away, or someone to talk to, it would have just given June more depth in this story. Another reason why June was unrealistic is her inability to confront reality. She chooses to live in her anxiety and feed her worst tendencies. We see this time and time again throughout the novel. She rationalizes decisions that are immoral and unethical because it will give her the fame and notoriety that she's always wanted. Being a famous writer to June was less about the book itself and more about the attention she received while being in the spotlight. She knew what she was doing was wrong, and yet instead of distancing herself from Athena or trying to move on, June just stays inside her guilt and feeds on it like a leech. This was not realistic for me. I know that many people feed on fame and the good and also the bad things people say about them. We see this with influencers and reality TV stars. However, it just doesn't hit for me. The most unrealistic part of the novel for me was the climax of the novel, or June's confrontation with Candace, the editor. June tries so hard to keep her secret throughout this whole book, and she's too paranoid to go confessing her deepest secret to Athena's ghost, which was just some crazy voice adaptation on top of some stairs. I know that Kwong sets June's mental state as unwell, having her leave a class of students and go see her mom, and talking to her therapist. But this still seems deeply out of character. Yes, June would love to be free of the guilt and shame of her actions, but clearly, from the ending of this novel, she would have done anything to keep that secret down. Why would she just scream it for the whole world? This just didn't seem real. I do think that much of June is unrealistic. However, the way she talks about writing is inspirational. Let's look at this quote. "Writing is the closest thing we have to real magic. Writing is creating something out of nothing, is opening doors to other lands. Writing gives you the power to shape your own world when the real one hurts too much. To stop writing would kill me. I'd never be able to walk through a bookstore without fingering the spines with longing wondering at the lengthy editorial process that got these titles on the shelf and reminiscing about my own. And I'd spend the rest of my life curdling with jealousy every time someone like Emmy Cho gets a book deal. Every time I learn that some young up-and-comer is living the life I should be living. Writing has formed the core of my identity since I was a child. After Dad died, after Mom withdrew into herself, after Rory decided to forge a life without me, writing gave me a reason to stay alive. And as miserable as it makes me, I'll cling to that magic for as long as I live. June really did struggle through many issues in her past, losing her father and then losing her sense of safety when she was taken advantage of at a party, could potentially lead someone to distance herself and be untrusting. I also love that June heals herself through writing. I know many people who have found writing to be healing after going through difficult situations. Despite my initial reservations about June's character, I couldn't help but be captivated by the novel's genius exploration of themes and the skillful way they are woven into the narrative. Kwong's discussion of topics of publishing, race, and the internet are nuanced and captivating. I find myself pondering on the ethical conundrums faced by June and how I would handle myself in these situations. So, what do you think? Is June unrealistic after all? Or do you see yourself in June? Let me know in the comments below. The most pressing issue of this book is the world of publishing. We live in a world that is so saturated with stories that you have to tick all the right boxes in order to win the publishing lottery. Or at least, that's how most of the characters in this book seem to act. June, who has only published one other novel in her life, seems to think that Athena is only successful because she's hot and Asian. Even in the end of the book, Candace admits that it's difficult to get published as an Asian American because the publishing house might already have their Asian voice and therefore won't publish any new Asian American authors in a year. Here are some quotes that take a deeper look at this issue. The first quote is from Candace. "The industry is built on silencing us, stomping us into the ground, and hurling money at white people to produce racist stereotypes of us," us being Asian readers. Second quote, "I dub historical exploitation novels inauthentic stories that use troubled past as entertainment set pieces for white entertainment." Both these quotes show the issues with race and publishing. I had many questions about race and publishing after reading this book. For example, is it okay to write characters who are a different race or ethnicity as yourself? Is it cultural appropriation for white people to write about Asian people? Although I do not think this was meant to be the central issue of the novel, it largely became it. I do not think that Kwong's purpose was to say that authors cannot write about whatever they want. It is more that people should be more mindful about the content that they are consuming. Also, publishing companies need to expand the amount of diverse authors they allow to publish in a year. That way, more diverse voices are heard. Another issue Kwong brings up in the novel is the cutthroat nature of publishing. Here's a quote that shows this. "But now I see that authors' efforts have nothing to do with a book's success. Bestsellers are chosen. Nothing you do matters. You just get to enjoy the perks along the way." Now, I do think that June is a bit jaded by her past experience with publishing, but it's interesting what is considered when choosing books that will be bestsellers. It is the publishing companies that largely get to decide this. Yes, more and more indie authors are getting recognition by going outside of traditional publishing, but most of them do not have the resources that publishing companies have. If we are not careful, the only books that will be on bestseller lists are people with large amounts of money and large followings on Instagram, and neither of those show the ability of an author and their craft. Now, you cannot talk about this book without discussing race. The book, after all, is called Yellowface. Race is such a hot-button topic in the United States right now, and I truly do not understand why. At this point in our nation's history, you would think that people would have learned to treat each other kindly without taking the color of skin into account. However, racism is still a large problem in this country. The way that Kwong covers race in this novel does feel a bit didactic, However, as I previously mentioned, I do think she does it in a way that is tactful. Instead of forcing us to see the world through her eyes, Kwong raises questions about race and leaves the audience to come up with their own conclusions. The first idea that I like to talk about with race comes from this quote. She's using the pen name Juniper Song to pretend to be Chinese American. She has taken new author photos to look more tan and ethnic. But she's as white as they come. June Hayward, you are a thief and a liar. You've stolen my legacy, and now you spit on my grave. I do think that what June's marketing team seemed like a wise move when it comes to selling the book. But was it ethical? No. I do not think it is ethical for publishers to brand their authors to be someone they are not. Case in point, what happens to June when she goes to talk to the Asian American group? They assume she's Asian. She's not. That situation could have easily been avoided had June just come out and been herself instead of hiding. Another subject this book discusses is how media addresses Asian people. Here's a quote that shows this. And who thought that Asian identification boiled down to being annoyingly obsessed with bubble tea and BTS were diluting the radical force of the diaspora canon? Stereotypes are reductive and harmful for society. In her TED Talk, The Danger of a Single Story, Chimamanda Adichie discusses many reasons why limiting a people down to one narrative is harmful for society, and it hurts more people than helps. The way we tell stories about any region of the world matters. If we only see Asians as bubble tea drinking submissive people, then we are missing a larger, complex aspect of Asian culture. Also, everyone calling them Asian limits them, since there are many differences between cultures in Asian countries. I think that Kwong has every right to bring this up in her novel. As I mentioned earlier, one of the issues this book discusses is who is allowed to write for certain cultures. Can writers have Black, Asian, or other main characters when their race is not that race? And I think Kwong gives us the answer to this by writing a book with a white main character as an Asian woman. I think Kwong brings up this topic because it is something that is being discussed in pop culture right now. What is acceptable for other people to write, and what is not acceptable for other people to write? In my personal opinion, any one character should not be put up as a standard for what a group of people is or is not. The more stories we have of a group of people, the more we are able to see the whole picture of that people. If we limit the amount of people or censor the stories that are getting published, we run the dangerous line of a group of people only being written in a stereotypical way. So I do not think the purpose of this book was to say what a writer can or cannot write about. However, I do think she meant to make you pause and think about why you are writing a certain character or what the purpose is. If your purpose is like June and you're using a group of people that is not your own to get famous or putting a race of people in your story just to meet a quota, that is disingenuous to the group of people. If you're writing about those people because you have a genuine interest or tie, or maybe you've spent your whole life researching the topic, that's a different story. In the long run, the more stories that we have about a people, the better. And so we should not limit who writes what, as long as their purpose is genuine. Now let's move to the last topic in this book, the media. Social media and the internet, I think, is the heart of the ideas in this book. Social media exacerbates the problems of publishing and race because so much information is spread like a wildfire with just a simple click of a button. This quote from the book explains this problem. Most of the accounts that participate so clearly do not care about the truth. They're here for the entertainment. These people love to have a target, and they'll tailor apart everything you put in front of them. Sadly enough, this is very true. There are millions of social media accounts and many people vying for a chance to be in the spotlight. While a majority of accounts are good people, there are thousands of accounts who are willing to say anything to get your attention and engagement. They don't care about how this impacts people's real life. or about how their fans will react to this information. They just want likes and views. It is sad when you hear about regular people's lives being destroyed because of what is being said on social media. Though June deserves to be found out and Athena deserves the true credit, the way people attack June online is not giving Athena justice. It's cruel and damaging. We see the way that every negative comment affects June and how she lives for the praise and admiration of others. I think this is a trap many people fall for, believing that social media is the only way to be seen. But it's so fake. I see myself and so many people my age in June as she obsesses about every little thing that is said about her online and how she cannot just close a screen and move on. It is important to set healthy boundaries with yourself and social media because as we see with June and others, it is not good for your mental health. Overall, this text is a warning to our society. As I said earlier, there's not a heavy-handed didactic message in this book. The author wants you to read and form your own opinions on the questions raised in the novel. It's obvious that June's life is a cautionary tale that we are meant to tell our children so that they can avoid being sucked into the need for fame and attention. I gave this book 4 out of 5 stars. The writing in this book is spectacular, and the way the topics are explored is fascinating. I do not believe that June is believable, but I do think that the questions raised in this book are worth exploring, and sometimes it's better to be bold and assertive with the claims like the one in this book. Thank you for listening to According to Your English Teacher. Please make sure to leave a review of the episode. This helps more people to find my content. Also, if you want to keep up with what I'm reading, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and on Goodreads under According to Your English Teacher. I'd love to connect with you outside of this podcast. I'd like to leave you with one last quote. Reading lets us live in someone else's shoes. Literature builds bridges. It makes our world larger, not smaller. This episode of According to Your English Teacher was written by me, Sam Gunther, and edited by Dally Gunther. The music was composed by Tom Brinton. Join me next week as we unpack Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabriella Zuppin. Thanks for listening and happy reading.